Amos, the book of Amos, chapter number 7 in your Bibles tonight. And I want you to notice in this chapter, book of Amos, verse 14 in particular, first of all, he says, "And then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet," I'm not a prophet, "neither was I a prophet's son. But I was," he says, "an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit." Last week, we looked at the message of a minor prophet. And the man's name, of course, was Hosea. And tonight, since we've already and recently looked at Amos the man when we did our famous Faithful series, we're also going to consider the message of this minor prophet as well. A message that, not surprisingly, is related to the man himself, just as it was with Hosea, the very personal tragedy he had, God used in his message. With Amos, God also uses this man. The Lord shows Amos a vision that Amos in particular would be very familiar with. Look across the page, Amos chapter 8, notice verse 1. "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit." What did we just read a moment ago? Amos's testimony, "I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit," right? Verse 2. "And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more." I want to say something tonight about our country. The basket of summer fruit, America, we believe and have long believed, is a basket case in the context of this message. I mentioned a moment ago the fact that God showed Amos a vision that Amos would have easily and quickly recognized and fully understood. And the reason is that this great man, this man who became a prophet, Amos, was actually a lifelong farmer. In addition to being a herdsman, we read a moment ago in chapter 7, verse 14, that he was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. These were basically wild figs in the nation of Israel. And so he saw this vision of a basket of summer fruit. And for him, very fitting indeed. Fitting because of what Amos was, fitting because of what Israel had become, and fitting tonight for all of us because of where America is headed. You see, God did not simply show Amos a piece of fruit. He showed him a whole basket of fruit. And it wasn't just a basket of fruit. It was specifically a basket of summer fruit. It's a reminder that with a full harvest of summer fruit, that the season now was coming to an end. In other words, summer, obviously, is a season. Its fruit, therefore, is seasonal. And I have to tell you that one of the very important keys to understanding the depth of meaning of this crucial vision that God gave to Amos is to note carefully that word, meaning the word summer. It's not just fruit. It's not just a basket of fruit. It is specifically a basket of summer fruit. And again, as a fruit farmer himself, Amos was especially familiar with the harvest and its his own expertise, which would be, in his case, figs. Figs were the quintessential fruit of summer because, you see, they ripened in both May and July. I'm reminded when we lived in Turkey as a boy, our Turkish neighbor used to make a dessert called incir tülak. It was figs and sugar and walnuts and soft and sweet and syrupy and rich. And it's where I suppose I first learned my love for figs. Over at Publix, you can get the Black Mission figs, you can get the Brown Turkey figs, you can buy my personal favorite, which are Fig Newtons. Fig Newtons are amazing. They will be growing on the Tree of Life on both sides of the River of Life. Which brings us again to this man, Amos, and his personal understanding perspective of an entire basket of summer fruit. You see, again, beloved, it's very important for those of us in today, in this modern age, and in particular, those of us who live in South Florida where it's almost perpetually summer, it's important for us to realize how special, how anticipated that the summer season was in the ancient world. Because after all, in an agrarian society, the winters were typically cold and they were bleak, in that people usually lived then from hand to mouth. In other words, most of your meals were made up of food that you rationed from the summer harvest. So that, you see, summertime, in addition to its longer and its warmer days, carried along with it this unique welcome harvest. And it's in this context that God gives to Amos this vision, the vision of the summer's bounty. And what it teaches and illustrates to all of us here are certain truths, and I want us to consider them for just the next few moments. For example, the first thing Amos would have noted in his vision is that, number one, there was this beauty, the beauty of summertime. You see, for poor laborers who lived in the days before refrigeration, before overnight delivery, there really wasn't anything that was more pleasing to the eye, to all of the senses, than a whole basket of summer fruit. It was something that you would wait for all year in order to see. I remember when I was in college and I would walk these streets in the Chicago suburbs in the 1970s. And I remember in the summertime seeing these wonderful little pop-up fruit markets that would just come here and there and almost every street corner, it seemed. And it would be full, just brimming these stands with watermelons and cherries and plums and peaches and strawberries and blueberries. And for a college kid, you know, with not a lot of money, it was about the cheapest, best food that you could get next to the White Castle, you know, one street over. And this aroma and this so many colors, it's really like walking down in the fruit section at Publix or somewhere even now. It was a reminder to me of the beauty of summertime. My dad always talked about the fondness of his childhood. When he would go out in the summertime and pick strawberries and pick blackberries in North Carolina, and then they would go and cool off and swim in the creek and then go back and pick those warm strawberries in the sun and eat them, and how good and how amazing it was. And that's how it is, the season of it, in fact, the blackberries, making blackberry pie and cherry cobbler and strawberry shortcake, the fruits of the unique beauty of summer. And so imagine now, Amos saw a basket of summer fruit. And because he saw it, that God showed him this, he saw the blessing and the bounty and the beauty of God's own hand. So, not surprisingly, if you go through the Bible, you will find that the season of summer is always presented, almost always, as a time and a period of God's grace. For the Middle East, summer was the chief time of the year, and in many ways, the most beautiful time of the year. It was certainly God's time for the ripening of the fruits of the earth, the grass, the herbs, the plants, the trees, the fruit. Everything was greener by virtue of the increased light and the increased warmth. You know, for a couple years, we lived in northern Indiana, many years in northern Indiana, and then a couple years in Michigan. Rick was born in Michigan. I remember how exciting it was because everything came alive, and to see it come alive in the summer. When we lived in Michigan, we lived in a duplex that was way out in the country. It was Goodall's. You ever heard of it? Goodall's, Michigan. And we had to drive through the Ruby Farms apple orchard every day to go to work and to church. And yes, in the wintertime, it was pretty stark, wasn't very pretty, kind of ugly. But in the summertime, it was plush and green, and eventually it was crowned with the smell of apple blossoms and fruit. And again, what Amos learned, which we all know, is that in the Bible, the summer season is presented as a time of grace, is a time when there's a little more light and warmth and beauty than any other. And that's exactly the way it is and the way it has been for our own society today. You know, according to the New Testament, we are living, for all of the moaning and the groaning and the sadness you hear from Christians, we are still living today in a time of God's grace. Meaning that ever since the death and resurrection of Jesus, we've had a complete Bible. We have the presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the local church, the gospel message, the age in which we are living today is truly an age of God's grace. And of course, besides the obvious spiritual blessing that that entails, most of us here are enjoying tremendous material blessings, the hand of God's provision as never before. And let me just say that as far as material blessing goes, that's exactly how it was in the days and the time of Amos. Amos was sent to prophesy to a nation that was in the midst of a long summer of God's goodness and God's grace. Turn back a page, would you? Chapter 6. Remember this verse, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. They're all up at ease there in Zion. And then down in verse 4, it says, they that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. So he's talking about a people that were at ease. The nation of Israel was a basket of summer fruit. They had peace, prosperity, and beauty as never before. And, you know, so do we. Honestly, we are a blessed people living in a blessed nation at a very blessed time. And I have to tell you again, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Just as there's nothing wrong with basking in the grace of God. God is a God of goodness and a God of blessing, and he's blessed us. The problem arises always when, like Israel, we forget the second lesson of summer. Number one, we noted the beauty of summer. Number two, let's remember that when he saw this, when Amos saw this basket, he would be reminded of the brevity of summer. You know, if you go to Publix, as you probably know, and you look for some figs, you're going to find that by and large, if you want any kind of fresh, they're going to be refrigerated, the refrigerated section. And that's for good reason, because figs, like virtually all summer fruit, are soft and perishable and protected. So that anybody who looks at a basket of summer fruit knows that its beauty and its glory is already and will eventually completely be gone. It's already fading. You see, what God was primarily telling Israel through this vision was that just like any basket of summer fruit, their days of grace and opportunity were fading away. Look again at chapter 8 and verse 2. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Wow. In other words, show them, Amos. Show the people the truth. That even though it seems as if their summer is endless and ongoing and perpetual, and even though it appears the sun will shine forever and ever on their rejection of me, God says, this is not the case. Chapter 8, verse 10, look down, would you? And I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all your loins. You know, I noticed in flipping channels the other day when I was at home sick that MTV constantly airs their annual award show over and over and over again. It's called the VMAs. If you've ever read about that program and its events and the acts that they do on that show, you know that it's just 3 hours of debauchery, hedonism, rebellion, and perversion. And it's targeted mostly at junior high young people. It is unbridled narcissism and excess and pride that always sends the message that tomorrow will never come. The message is that to those who are at ease in Zion, you're always going to be at ease in Zion. And the messengers who are not junior high young people are music industry millionaires and entertainment billionaires who value profits over people and over parents. And people like Amos, people who want to ruin the party of these people who have no God, These people are just crazies. They're all fruit pickers and go back down to your farms who just don't want other people to have fun. And of course, it's not just some kids who buy, some young people who buy the lie. It's a lot of their parents who abdicate their authority and their calling to be the adult in that home. You can let Nick at Night or Disney XD or MTV raise your kids if you want, but rest assured that they will indoctrinate them with the poison that you as a parent do not matter, and neither does your God. And so this summer, this picture is that it is brief, as opposed to the message of the world that summertime has a season. You know, whenever fall starts to come, even in South Florida, you can tell the days are getting shorter. A little less light, a little longer shadows, earlier sunrises, sunsets, and you can just see that the days are getting shorter. And so is the picture, the season of grace. In the case of Amos, it was actually about 30 years before full judgment would come. But guess what? It came. And it came to a people who had a chance to do the right thing. And so the brevity of summer. When Jeremiah was told to prophesy to the nation of Judah, he said this in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. What was he saying? He was saying that summer is a season. A season has a beginning and a season has an ending. And the summer, he said, is ended. So that, in other words, the season of grace, as far as this world and as far as life are concerned, it is limited in its duration. So that a basket of summer fruit speaks of ripening, and it speaks of the shortness of time. Chapter 8, look at verse 2 again. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end, here it is, the end is come upon my people. I will not again pass by them any more. In other words, summer fruit under the heat of the Middle East doesn't keep very long. So that if it's not eaten or if it's not preserved, it's just going to rot and it's going to decay. No matter how beautiful it looks or how wonderful it smells or tastes at the moment, its days are numbered. And you know, this is one of the hardest things in the world for men and women of the flesh to understand. To realize that the day of grace is limited and that the opportunity they have, which is glorious, will soon be gone. Parents rarely appreciate the shortness of time they have with their little ones, their children, to influence them for good in God. Young people almost never appreciate the opportunities that lie before them. Christians very quickly and easily lose sight of the blessings and the goodness and the opportunities of the moment they have. It's one reason why nostalgia is so popular. Everybody wants to go back. Everybody wants to recoup and relive some former year or day. Well, I have to tell you, beloved, that God's name is I Am. Not I was or I will be. I Am. God is eternally existing, and in His economy, right now is summertime. Right now in your life. Right now is a season of hope. Right now is a season of joy, of opportunity, and of God's grace. And one of these days, that season, here and now, in this world, in this moment, will be gone. In fact, think about it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that the fields, quote, were white already unto harvest. So that, really, it's been a long summer season. But soon, the harvest will be past. The summer will be ended, and many will not be saved. Many will lose the opportunity that they have been given. Which brings us to the third lesson of summer. Number one is the beauty of summer. Number two is the brevity of summer. Number three, of course, there is the burden of summer. Remember, Jeremiah said that the harvest is past. You see, since summer is harvest time for so many different fruits, that means obviously it's also a time of labor. It is the time to be busy. Proverbs 30 says that even the ant, even the little tiny ant, provides her meat back in the summertime. Proverbs 10:5 says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. Now, folks, as important as that is in the physical world, it is infinitely more important in the spiritual world. So that for all of God's people in this room, and all of God's people listening where you are now, and all of God's people who have embraced the grace of God in the summertime, you must recognize that when it's summertime in your lives, it is the season that God has placed you in to serve him, to labor for him, to praise him, to love him, to grow in his grace. It is a window of opportunity. I remember many years ago, I went by the old John Smith. It was at Abacoa next to Roger Dean Stadium to get a sub and to get Benjamin a tuna salad. And I sat down to do some studying there, as I often did there in that place. And when I walked in, I opened the door for, lo and behold, it was Alex Gonzalez of the Florida Marlins, shortstop for the Marlins. And he was from Venezuela, and I knew a lot about him because I'd followed him, and he was dressed in a t-shirt and jeans, very casual, and I recognized him immediately. So I placed my order, I sat down in my briefcase, and I started to study. And I heard a little boy, about 10 years of age, I suppose. He was all dressed out in Marlins regalia, probably came from or going to a spring training game or something, I don't know. And I heard him say to his dad, they were sitting right here next to me, he said, hey, Dad, isn't that Alex Gonzalez? And his dad looked over and said, no. And Alex got his stuff. He sat down by himself. And the boy said again, Dad, I'm telling you, he looks like Alex Gonzalez. His dad laughed and said something like, son, do you think Alex Gonzalez is going to come here to John Smith's son? I'm like, well, who am I then? Whatever. But the boy kind of sighed. You know, his dad couldn't be wrong. And I was sitting there and I was studying, and I noticed the boy's going through his little stack of baseball cards. And he whispered again, he said, Dad, he says, I've got his card. You sure that's not Alex Gonzalez? And his dad looked, son, there's a couple Dwyer baseball players over there, and they were a couple Dwyer baseball players in uniform. And he said, they would have recognized him and so on. And anyway, I didn't say anything. I just sat there. And the boy kept looking over him and wondering. And finally, Alex, after he'd eaten, he got up to leave. And I looked at the boy, and for the boy's sake, when Alex got up, I said, Alex, ¿cómo estás? And he looked at me and went, hey, muy bien, gracias. And then the boy's eyes got that big because he recognized that the man recognized his name. And as Alex was leaving, the boy looked at me, and I said, you better go. Go now. And he did. He jumped up, grabbed his card. He got him to autograph his World Series baseball card. And he was so pumped and so excited. I was glad he got that little window of opportunity. I sat down. His dad said to me, sir, thank you for that. He says, you're his agent or something? I'll buy your food. And I said, sí, señor. No, I didn't. But we have a glorious window. That boy had a little window, a little chance. And in so many ways, our season of opportunity is right in front of us. And yes, it's an opportunity to enjoy the goodness of God, but not just to enjoy it, but to enjoy it with gratitude and thankfulness and praise. That's what glorifies God. It's an opportunity to manifest the fruits of the Spirit and to do the will of God, lest we become like this same nation of Israel and its people of Bethel. You see, when these people found themselves basking in the sun of God's grace, they didn't continue to bless the Lord or to do his will. In fact, if anything, they actually forgot the Lord. Look at chapter 8, verse 4. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, taking advantage of poor people, even to make the poor in the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? And the Sabbath, when will it be over? We may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. Do you know what God is saying there? Read those verses sometime later, but I'll tell you what he's saying. He's saying that his people were coming to church, sitting in the services where they're supposed to be praying and giving and singing praises to God, But instead, they're thinking, man, I could be making overtime right now. I could be making money and selling stuff. When will this holy day ever be over so I can go back to business? And God saw that attitude, and he said, Amos, tell these people who are at ease in Zion that they're a basket of summer fruit, that they will soon be spoiled. One of the texts in Scripture that I always wonder will ever be true of our nation is something God told Amos would happen to his nation. It's down in verse 11 of chapter 8. Read it with me, would you? Verse 11, "Behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." Wow, think about that. Pastor, is that day ever going to come to America? Will God ever judge our nation by removing his witness and his word, which our society takes for granted every day? Well, outside of the rapture, I don't know the answer to that. I know people in Washington and in public education who want that to happen more than anything else. They want the witness and the word to be gone. What I do know is that right now we're living in the midst of summer. And the beauty and the brevity and the burden of this current season should not be lost on any of us. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said that one day the Lord of the harvest will return, and he will. The only question is, are you a part of the harvest, right? And if you are you as a Christian more like Amos or more like those who are at ease in Zion? You know, it's interesting, and I think very significant, that if you go through the book of Amos and take note of how God describes the nation of Israel, as he does so as ripe for judgment, you will see that what he pointed to the most were the power brokers, the leaders, the robber barons, the priests, and the royalty. God told Amos to go up to the big city to prophesy to the big shots up there and to say to them, your dishonesty, your grasping for power and then abuse of that power and your injustice and deceit and pride as leaders of my people pulling them away from me and my word, this is a sign of your rotting society. God says that has led to the land being polluted with idolatry and immorality. And I'm telling you, and you know this, that's America in 2021. So what did Amos do? When he found out and saw, when he went up to Bethel and even the priests and everybody rejected him and God and God's message and God's word, what did he do? Did he throw up his arms and surrender? Did he cower before the insults of Amaziah, that phony man? Did he despair? Did he quit? No, on the contrary. The book of Amos ends in chapter 9. With one great promise after another. So that what Amos did was obey God's will, praise him, and then serve him with gladness. And when he was done with his call at Bethel, he went right back to his farm, right back to his orchard, and for the next 30 years, he served God as a farmer whose eyes were open to the glory of God. In other words, Amos watched his nation go down while he himself was going up. He was a faithful witness, which is precisely, beloved, what God wants us to be in this climate, in this country, and today. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. I want to thank you again for your faithfulness tonight, for meeting with us all as God's people, and for your faithfulness last Sunday morning with drive-in and Sunday night in watching a series on adding to your faith, giving all diligence. And I hope you'll be faithful to all of these things. I truly believe this. I believe that someday you'll tell your grandchildren or they'll tell their children about these days when it was difficult and different, but that God was faithful and we all grew as a church and as a people and as individual servants of God. I hope you'll have a wonderful day, night, and day tomorrow and week until we see you again. And we love you. God bless you all.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.